Some of you might have seen the palms underneath there. It's known across Christian church around the world that it's a Palm Sunday, isn't it? And so it has become a tradition in our walk with God. And sometimes we don't understand fully what is the background to the palms. And so it's associated with Jesus entering into Jerusalem. So, but I want to draw your attention in this text that we have today to the fact that this is not the first time for Jesus to go into Jerusalem, isn't it? Jesus, from through his life, he was going to Jerusalem. As a Jew boy, he got engaged in celebrating all the Jewish festivals, isn't it? If you are engaging with me, you would recall when he was only 12 years old that he went to Jerusalem and he was left behind. Obviously, it was the feast of Passover. Well, even now we have in chapter 10 of John Gospel that Jesus, and I'm reading from verse 22, John chapter 10, verse 22, Jesus also, before he went to the Passover, he went also to Jerusalem, and that was even 3 months before his last entry into Jerusalem. Are you with me? And then the Bible says in verse 22, chapter 10 of John, then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area, walking in the Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." So Jesus went into Jerusalem at this feast that they call Feast of Dedication. So maybe we pass over this feast and we don't know what is the background to this feast. Well, this Feast of Dedication or Consecrations or Renewal, it commemorates the purging of the temple by a group of people. We call them Maccabeans. Maccabeans, they were led by a man by name Matthew, and other people, the historian gave a name Simon the Maccabee. So they were a group of zealot Jews who were responding to Antiochus Epiphanes. He was a cruel Roman leader who sought to alter the worship of people of God that time. He came and he defiled the whole temple. And that was the temple that was built by those of Zerubbabel. You read that in Ezra chapter 2 and the high priest Joshua. So this man, he was trying to alter the culture of God's people by trying to make them like the other nations. So he came and he defiled the whole temple by offering on the altar that was really set apart as the exile returned. So they offer pigs on that altar, and they opened all the core rooms around for prostitutions. It was very disgusting. And so this group of believers in Yahweh, they took upon themselves to liberate the temple. So they revolt because that man, he was so cruel. He has killed a lot of Jewish people. He killed like nearly 80,000, we are told in the history books. And so Matthew or Simon the Maccabee, he revolted. And led through God's grace, they were able to push back those people and they purified the temple. You see? And so they restored the true worship again. And so those people, they call themselves the Maccabeans. And the Maccabean is an abbreviation of a word that stands for "There is no one like the Lord." And so these people, they through God's grace, they took it upon themselves to say, "We can never live in any other way but to worship Yahweh, the God of Israel, the God who has brought us out of the bondages and gave us the covenant. And we are the recipients of his blessings, and we are waiting for the Messiah. There were people who were waiting for the Messiah. So they celebrate this feast, and then it was characterized by a lot of lights, saying that the dawn of salvation is here. And so this man, he did that. And so people would just gather around the Judea and the nearby towns to come and celebrate this festival year after year. And then now Jesus, as a good Jew, and so he was coming also to show off. But people were really looking for Messiah, because as this leader, this man, and I believe this man, when they celebrate this, also they have the palms, because actually the palms signify a victorious king. So this is what they do. They wave the palms for a conquering king. You see, and then the people of Israel, they have this idea that they have a king, because God himself, he was their king. And so they have this concept of a king that will rule them. You see, that will deliver them from their enemies and their those people who really seek to destroy them. And so Jesus came into that feast. And then the part that they call Solomon Colonnade. So we know that the first temples that was built by Solomon was destroyed by the Babylonians. And then the small temple that we read of in Haggai, when they were told not to despise, they don't have to think that the glory of this small house is too small. No, don't despise this. This glory is great also. And so the Solomon buildings or temple was destroyed, but there was a part that was not destroyed, and that is what they call colonnade. That is, this part was staying there, and it's mainly it's long towers with a roof. With sometimes you can have one wall on the east side, and because people were praying to the west, just to protect the temple from the dust and also sands. So that was the part that would remained from the original temple. And so that was there. And so that part actually became a meeting place for those who loved to study the gospel. I mean, the word of God. Those who were looking into the promises and of God. You see, and so some of them, they were called like the colonnades. So there were a group of people who were sitting in those place and they studying the word, and they were given that name, the colonnades. And Jesus was coming and walking in that area. And so this is a feast of dedications. And yet, you will find that even these people who were celebrating, when they saw Jesus, they asked him this question, which, why you leave us in suspense? Are you the Messiah? These people, they were looking forward for Messiah to come. And yet, because it's not a straightforward practice, there were also people, because this temple was extended by Herod after that, during Jesus' days. You see, so it was extended by Herod and become a big place and very beautiful place. And then this is where the Pharisees, they made it a place for business themselves, offering sacrifices and so forth. And that is why you could see they didn't want Jesus to be part of that. Because in verse 31 of chapter 10, again, the Jews picked up a stone to stone him. But Jesus said to them, I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? So these are the people, you see. So they need a savior. So Jesus was not going to a Jerusalem that was just only godly. It's a place that needs a savior, like in our places today. The religion is around, Christianity is around, but we have a lot of people who have not come to know the freedom that it is in Christ. And so this is the Jerusalem that Jesus was going to go into. In chapter 12, I got a few verses to share with you. In chapter 12, so another feast is coming, the feast of Passover. So the feast of dedication, they were celebrating how God showed them mercy, like real to purge the temple. And yet, and also the feast of Passover, they celebrate the Exodus, when God delivered them from Egypt. And now 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany. So Jesus arrived at Bethany, close to Jerusalem. And then in verse, so 6 days, and then the fifth day, the next day, so the fifth day. So the time is just closing. So I jump to verse 12 of chapter 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. So it's not the feast of dedication, it's the feast of Passover now. Okay, it's very important that we have these things right, lest we are confused. So here, the feast of Passover, and Jesus is approaching to come to Jerusalem. So they took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting. So here, the origin of the palm, real here, is associated with a military leader, a savior who will come and save God's people. And so when Jesus came, and so they say, Hosanna, which means, please save us, or save us now. So they were shouting like that. But the picture that was in their minds, as we will read later on, that the disciples themselves, they did not. In verse 16, at first his disciples did not understand all this. Why people were just aroused in praises for this. These people, they were doing this under the hedge of the Holy Spirit, of the work of God, because they didn't know that what they were doing has been prophesied, isn't it? They were doing exactly what the people of the old days in the Psalms of Hallel, Psalm 113 up all the way to Psalm 119. The thing they were singing. So these people, they were quoting exactly Psalm 118. They were quoting these things because they were, as they were waiting for years and years for the coming of Messiah, whenever they go to Jerusalem, they would just sing this psalm. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. These are the people who have known the goodness of God. Give thanks to God. And so over and over again, this is what they would sing. And even they sang this before Christ himself, the promised Messiah. Let Israel say, let Israel say, his love endures forever. And certainly the love of God endures for the people of Israel. God kept his promises. He gave them faith in him to keep going, waiting for the fulfillment of the promise. Well, I believe even in our day today, we need to be a people who look forward to God to fulfill all his promises for us. This is his character. If you have not experienced yet the abundance presence of God and his hand in your life, he is able to do this. Jesus Christ today, as we would see. So these people, they were there always singing this. Give thanks. And then they say, Israel. You see, all the sections of the community, generally, all Israel must praise God. Say his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron, say Aaron is a reference to the priest, you know. The priest, even the priest, they need to give thanks to God for his faithfulness. Let those who fear the Lord say his love endures forever. Those who fear the Lord, those who love the Lord, those who live their lives in the fear of the Lord, in their conducts, in their words, in their thoughts, in their hearts, who fear the Lord. Fear of God. And then he started to talk about their own needs. From verse 6. In my anguish I cried to the Lord. The Lord is with me. These are the people who have need. And that is why they were crying out, Lord, save us now. All the nations. And these people, they say in verse 15, shout of joy and victory resounds in the tents of the righteous. The tents is the houses of the believers. Songs of praises, of victory. The Lord has called us to victory. Victory over our thoughts that destroy us. Victory over issues in our lives. This is the grace, and the Holy Spirit is able to do this. All that we will need to do is to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then to invite the Holy Spirit to come into our lives and do his deep work so that we can shout in our tents, in our homes, in our houses, in our gathering like this. We shout, they can resound in the tents of the believer. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. We have a lot to celebrate. And then they went on and they quoted, "O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Here, these people, they were pronouncing these words as Jesus was entering into Jerusalem. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And that is what Jesus is when he was entering into Jerusalem. Finally, there won't be any another entry to Jerusalem. There won't be any another Savior. There won't be any other feast, because he will fulfill them all. You know, the Feast of Dedication was characterized with a lot of lights. You see, symbolizing the light of God, the presence of the word, true worship, the presence of God in his own people. The Lord himself is light, isn't it? The Bible tells us. And Jesus took that and he said, "I am the light of the world." And so here Jesus coming, fulfilling all these things. And the Passover dead feast also, it speaks of the deliverance, not only from Pharaoh, deliverance from the dominion of sin and Satan. Hallelujah. So those who would just believe and put their trust in Christ will be saved one and for all, will be filled with the Holy Spirit and with joy and with peace of God and a future in glory with God himself. That is what really the Passover is standing for. It's Jesus coming into this world, the sacrificial Lamb of God. And now we see these people, they call it a triumphant entry, but I hesitated to call it like that. Jesus was not entering like that as a victorious king. He was not entering like that. You see this in this text, that Jesus Christ found a young donkey and sat upon it. So is a humble animal, you see, that Jesus rode on. He is speaking of humility. He's speaking of a lamb to be slaughtered in Jerusalem, a sacrificial lamb of God. That is why he was going humbly, because the victorious kings, they were entering with horses, isn't it, and chariots, with display of power. And that is no wonder why people didn't understand that. But they were capturing the spirit that was there. Save us now. Certainly he will save his own people. So Jesus went into that place humbly as a lamb to be slaughtered on the cross of Calvary. And no one understands that. But praise God, we understand this. We who are on the other side of the cross, isn't it? That was what Jesus was going to achieve for us. We have the full revelation. That is why the New Testament, the Bible says, is greater than the Old Testament. Because all that the Old Testament saints were longing for is just here for us to enjoy. On the account of those great believers, Abraham, the father of the faithful, those people, they believed God and was accredited to them as righteousness. So we who have come to believe this today, the fulfillment, the greater fulfillment of all the promises, we look back to those Old Testament saints and we give thanks to God for them, and we learn for their life. They saw little and yet they believed. How about us all who have seen it all together? We have seen the work of God. We have come to know the forgiveness for our sins. Who have come to know the freedom that Jesus was bringing into the world to set people free who were under bondages. For us to cross cultures. For me to be here today is the work of Christ. You see, it's going to where next? USA or France or anywhere? So wherever. So you've been saved. You are in the hand of God. You see, finished. You are to be free. That is what Jesus was coming to do. And people were not understanding that. So people who were fearful, the Pharisees were fearful of their power to be taken away, isn't it? Because they were doing businesses, isn't it, in the temple. They were doing businesses. And so you bring your lamb, unless they say it's, then yeah, you can sell it. And so they were doing business, and that is why Jesus came and overturned the tables there. So they were holding to the power, and that is why they wanted to stone Jesus and kill him. And eventually that was what they did. So there was fear. That is why verse 15, do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is saying this. Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. Daughter, speak of weakness, isn't it? Do not be afraid. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. This is the true king coming. But these people, they did understand. They were so fearful of their positions, see, in Jerusalem. And the people there also, they were fearful of their enemies also, the Roman empires, the whole people, the whole nation. Some historian, they said, people at that time, they were living like in the days of Moses back in Egypt. They were oppressed by nations around them. They were oppressed by unbelieving empires, pagans. And so there's a lot of fear. And as we are entering into the Easter, do you have any reasons to remain fearful? Fearful for your even personal walk with God? Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is sufficient. His blood shed on the cross is sufficient to wash you clean if you believe, if you open your heart. You need strength to be renewed in your spiritual strength. You open your heart and ask Jesus to fill you with the Holy Spirit. The Bible has lost its way in your life. The Lord Jesus Christ can give you a desire to get back into reading his word and applying it on your life so that you can finish the work. What is the thing that we can fear? Now Jesus that hasn't dealt with. And so the king is coming, but it's not a political king. You see, it's not a political kingship. It's the king of hearts. The king that was coming to be throned on the throne of our hearts, to crown him with all the crowns, and to love him and to serve him alone, and to go through oceans. You said across oceans and across nations and across family boundaries for his glory. Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. Today the Lord is saying, do not be afraid. What is the thing that you are afraid of? You can bring to the Lord. He is the great physician. He heals. He heals. Do you need healing? He heals. He heals. Do you need healing? It's not only physical healing, mental healing. So we live in a nation that is just dissected or like really struggling with mental health. Can Jesus heal our mental health? Can Jesus heal our mind, our brains? Can Jesus heal this? Yes, he can. He can heal. All that he needs, you need to believe in the power of Christ. Can Jesus also give you rest in your heart? Can you trust him to lead your life to direct your steps? He can. All that we need as his own people is not to be afraid. For the one who is our Lord and King is able. The one who came sitting on a donkey's colt, going to the cross of Calvary to be offered as a sacrifice for your sin, every sin, and to guarantee for you an inheritance that will never fade away. That is what Jesus was coming to achieve in Jerusalem. And at a time like this, where everybody is fearful of their future, even of their work, even of their ministry, even of their relationships, Jesus Christ can reign over all these things. And he is a good shepherd. He leads us in good path, not in a bad path. If we are remaining uncertain of the freedom into which Jesus has called us into, and then we need to check our doctrines. Have we come to believe the true gospel or not? And the Israel, they were struggling because they were not hearing his voice. Jesus said, you are not The people of Israel, who were supposed to recognize their Messiah and their king, unfortunately, Jesus was to go even to say that you are not part of the flock. Because my sheep hear my voice. That is the first part of chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice. Do you hear the voice of the Lord? My sheep hear my voice. That is what he has come to accomplish. He doesn't want us not to understand, as these people, even his disciples, the Bible says here, the disciples, they didn't understand what Jesus was doing. And then later on, after he was glorified, and then they look back and they realize that they have done all these things for him in fulfillment of all that has been written in the Word of God. What an amazing God. And really to finish here, why all these historical events are so important for us. Why we have to visit the Feast of Dedication and the Feast of Passover. Things that God has done even before the foundation of the world. You need to remember Passover happened just like 1,000 years before Jesus. So that your faith will rest on a historical foundation, on a solid ground that God himself has prepared even before eternity. That is your faith. Your faith is resting on something can never be destroyed. Your faith in the living God is so true to be willing to die for, because it's something glorious, is eternal, and is so strong and powerful. And is the truth, absolute truth. There's nothing near it, and you can be at rest for that. And you can shout, Hosanna, Hosanna. You can shout glory to God and speak of his faithfulness, like in the Psalm 118. And to have the sound of joy to resound in our homes all the time, because we are a people who have been destined to experience God's love and forgiveness and cleansing. The disciples didn't know that. But they came to know that. In a city full of fears, even in our city today, fear of what are we going, how are we going to survive. The petrol prices are just so up. The rental market is just amazing. And the Reserve Bank is just like crazy. It doesn't know what to do. And so everything is mess. The school fees are just hitting the roof. See, people are getting busier. Even our business, our plans are making us tired, even ourselves. So what can we do? Can we look to Jesus and ask him, Lord, have your way. Please come and stop us if we are running our own courses, if we are running our own events. Come and stop us. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ. If I'm harboring thoughts that are defeating, are not of God, please can you come and melt them and wipe them and blot them out from my mind and my heart. Your faith is built on a sure foundation. But even those people who were just so fearful, as I mentioned, they wanted even like to kill Lazarus, because that was a testimony that was pointing to Jesus, isn't it? They said, we are getting nowhere, verse 19. So the Pharisees said to one another, see, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. And that is our desire, that the whole world go after Jesus, because sooner or later, the world will bow down their knees to Jesus and will confess him the Lord and God. Do not fear. Do not fear. The Easter is a good opportunity for you to reflect on the cross of Jesus and how much he loves you. As a many theologian would say, if you are the only human being, or many preachers, or here on earth, Jesus would have come into this world to save you. And as I was preparing, I think a lot about you. And I was cautious also to know that we are living in a very individualistic society. But nevertheless, the Lord himself, he is not offended by anything. He cares for you. He cares for you. He cares for you. That is why his church is made up of you who have come to faith in him and become the body of Christ. And that is why he is encouraging us to carry one another's burdens, because that is the nature of the faith into which we have been called to have, is a faith that looks out. takes joy in seeing others being saved and being helped and being supported and being encouraged, because we know that if you are a soldier and you are in a war, so you are fighting for a people. You are not fighting only for yourself. I have never seen a soldier who is going into war on his own behalf. Only criminals would do that. Only criminals will go to war to fight for their own benefits. But true soldiers, they fight for others. They fight for nations. You know, even in this nation, the sacrifice of a people, so that we can live in peace and we live as a nation. The same thing in South Sudan. People fought to have their own country. And now they have to find their way back to the purposes of God for which he has given them a country. So the Christian faith is to look out. You see, that is God himself. That is God. Do not fear. These days are so wonderful days to reflect on how the Lord himself calls us not to fear. If there is need for forgiveness for your sins, open your heart. If there is a need for comfort, I will comfort you. If there is a need for friends who are true, who love Jesus Christ in sincerity, even they don't have to say, I love you, you will know from their feelings and their actions and their word how much they love you. And you should do the same. Do not fear. That is a message for me today. As a believer in Christ, and if you have not come to know Jesus personally, you can open your heart even right now and invite him to come into your heart to forgive your sins. Shall we pray?